Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Plus Model Radio. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. Thanks for tuning in. I've got an exciting show this evening with special celebrity guest, Kimberly Locke. Kimberly Locke is one of our favorite Idol contestants from season 2 of American Idol. She went all the way to the top 3 finalists with Ruben Studdard and Clay Aiken and held her own. She is currently signed with Curb Records, and her debut album, One Love, hit stores in mid-2004 and spawned the number 1 Billboard Hot 100 sales single for 8th World Wonder, where Kimberly became the 3rd Idol to enter the chart at number 1. In 3 short years, Kimberly has scored 4 top 10 Billboard AC hits, including 8th World Wonder, I Could, Up on the Housetop, and Jingle Bells. In 2005, Kimberly signed with Ford Modeling Agency and became a Lane Bryant spokesperson. She has also been a Jenny Craig spokesperson and appeared on Celebrity Fit Club. Her album, Based on a True Story, is in stores now. Let's welcome Kimberly to the show. Hi, Kimberly. Are you there? Hello? One second. We might be having technical difficulties.
Hello.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I know you're busy.
Like
you had
a
lot going on.
You just had a brief freak out moment, didn't you?
I did. Well, thanks for being with us. So,
no problem.
I'm going to start from the beginning. I know you're probably tired of hearing Idol questions, so I'm going to get those out the way.
No problem.
So what were you doing before competing on American Idol?
Before American Idol, American Idol was the end of, I auditioned at the end of 02, I think, and I was on the show in 03.
Mm-hmm.
So I just finished undergraduate school, and I was headed to law school, and I was working. I had a job with BMI ASCAP and CSAC at the time, and
mm-hmm.
I was just preparing to go to law school. And the funny thing was, when I auditioned for American Idol and I made it to the final round, which was with Paula, Randy, and Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you the yellow slip that says you're going to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that Hollywood Week was the same time law school started, the same week, December 9th. I'll never forget the date, December 9th. And I had to make a choice between American Idol and law school. So, obviously, I chose American Idol.
Wow. So
before I even knew if I was going to make it. So I was a nervous wreck.
So you just stepped out on faith, basically.
Hey, I really did. I stepped out on faith. I had no idea what was going to happen, and I had no way of knowing what was going to happen.
So before Idol, had you made a demo or approached record companies and tried to do it on your own?
I had. Probably since my sophomore year or freshman year in college,
mm-hmm.
I had been singing in bands locally in Nashville at different jazz bars or cabaret rooms or, you know, just singing with different bands, period. And
mm-hmm.
prior to that, I was in a group an a cappella group primarily called Shades of You, and we sang everywhere we could pop. Wherever people wanted to hear us, we sang.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter where it was. And, you know, that's since I was young, I've always known that I either wanted to be a singer or a lawyer. Those
right.
were the two things that I wanted to do.
So what was your biggest obstacle getting started as a professional singer before the show?
Well, what I learned in college is that you are a professional singer once you start earning money at your profession. So
okay.
I was already a professional.
Got it.
The way I looked at it was I wanted to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened for me was, you know, Oprah calls them our aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day I realized, you know, I wanted to go to the next level. I was not content singing in bars and singing in clubs. Of course, that's how you have to start out. You know, that's the
right.
way it is sometimes, and that's what you have to do. But I realized that I'd gotten to a point to where, you know, I said, this is not what I want. If I can't have it, I don't want it. If I can't have the professional level that I want to reach, which is having a recording contract, having my own band, if I can't have that, I don't want it, because I can do other things and be successful at them. And I made that decision. So I stopped singing at every club I ever sang at.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped singing in bands, period. And the only time I sang was in church, which was very gratifying for me. And
yeah.
it was enough. It satisfied my need to sing. And that's when, I'm telling you, I started focusing on law school then, no music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when American Idol came about.
Wow, so it was just meant to be.
You know what? It was meant to be. And, you know, people, you know, my mom is the number one, you know, person that'll say, if it's meant to be, it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate that expression, it's true. If it's meant to be, it's going to be, because I had already enrolled in law school. I had taken the LSAT. I had bought my books. As a matter of fact, my books are still in my closet at my mom's house.
You didn't return them?
I didn't return them. Well, I was like, well, maybe I'll use them one day. I wasn't sure. I kept them, and I was like, you know, this was, you know, they always say what God has for you is for you,
mm.
but I believe you have to be in position for that, and I think that I was in position for that, and that was for me, and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
So after competing on Idol, do you automatically have representation with someone at the show, or
oh,
are
no.
just people approaching you from all different directions?
What happens, what the average person that's sitting at home watching American Idol does not realize is that while we are on the show, we are obligated to American Idol / Fremantle.
Mm-hmm.
They're representing us as our management company on our behalf musically, and
mm-hmm.
They use the agency, the talent agency, CAA. And so while we're on the show, we're tied up with them. What happens at the end of the show, you go into a grace period where American Idol and Fremantle, they have what you call first right of refusal. So
mm-hmm.
if they want to pick you up, if they pick up your option, then you're obligated to them. If they do
oh.
not pick up your option, they have 90 days from the finale to pick up your option. And, honey, you can believe that when we got off that show, I was calling them every week saying, are you going to pick me up? Are you going to pick me up? Are you going to pick me up?
Mm-hmm.
Because your window of opportunity is very narrow.
Right.
And it's closing because people, you know, people are on to the next set of idols before the tour is over.
Right.
And, you know,
so
you
got
to
get it while you're hot.
You got to get it while people still know who you are.
Right.
And I wanted them to release me, and I actually got them to release me a little bit early, but, you know, not too early. They didn't sign me, and immediately I had saved every business card of every person that I had met when I was on the show. And
mm-hmm.
I picked up the phone, and I called those people, and I said, you know, American Idol is not signing me. I need a record deal before this tour is over. And
oh,
I got
so you
one.
Did it yourself.
I did. I did it myself.
Oh,
I
so
did.
You were hustling.
I'm a hustler. Listen, I hustled in college. You know, that's what I do. You know, my best friend, you know, if I ever call her and I'm stressed out, she's like, listen. She's like, I'm not worried about you. She said, I watched you hustle in college, and can't nobody hustle better than you.
Yeah, that's good to have
and, you know,
in this industry.
Exactly. And that's what it was. You know, it was about, you know, we meet a lot of people on American Idol just through different things. And
right.
I had met a lovely person at BMI, Fred Bronson. I had made really good friends with the people on the show. And, you know, just people that the exposure is so tremendous from American
mm-hmm.
Idol. And you run into the most random people. I just picked up the phone and called him. I had, you know, Young and the Restless is one of my favorite soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
I even called the talent agent there. And she, I didn't get a part on the show, but she sat down in her office and talked to me for 2 hours. And that was valuable. Yeah, and that was valuable to me. And
yeah.
And so even those types of opportunities, you take advantage of it, you know, because we're new kids on the block when we come off that
right.
show.
So in 2005, you signed with the Ford Modeling Agency as a plus-size model and became a Lane Bryant spokesperson. So are you still signed with Ford and modeling?
I'm not signed with them. Once my contract ended with Lane Bryant, which was, I think I was with them for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
it was a great experience, and I think it was just what I needed personally because, you know, after American Idol, there was so – everybody wanted to talk about my weight, and I'm from Tennessee.
But you weren't that big.
Hello. But all of a sudden, I developed a complex because everybody wanted to talk about it. Everybody wanted to talk about being a plus size in Hollywood, and I was very honest with them, and, you know, I'm just that way. I don't know how to be anything else. But I said to them, I said, you know what? I'm from Tennessee, and until I got to Hollywood, I didn't really think I had an issue with my weight.
Right, you're just normal there.
That's how it goes down in Tennessee.
Right.
That's how it
I
is.
Know.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a tough time for me because I had to, you know, I'm a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
But things like that attack you at the core. And as much as you try to ignore it, when everybody's talking about it and it's in
mm-hmm.
your face, you know, it's hard to ignore it. It affects you. And one, I remember one day I was living in L.A. and I was at home, and I was broke down. I mean, I was in tears, just crying. And the guy I was dating at the time, he came over, he's like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a typical girl, I don't know. I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying hysterically like my dog just died. And he's like, he sat down on the edge of the bed, and he said, what is wrong with you? And I was like, everybody is talking about my weight. I feel like there's something wrong with me. And you know what? He looked at me, and he said, you need to get over it.
So where,
just
you,
like
did
that.
You see it on TV or the Internet or both?
You know what? It was just in interviews. I was doing a lot of interviews after American Idol, and that's what people wanted to talk about. And I was like, you know what? I just, you know, accomplished something huge in my life.
Right.
And they want to talk about
things.
My weight.
Yeah.
You know, I just released my album. I had a number one single, and they wanted to talk about my weight. And I was like, really? I was like, it's that important? And it got to me. And when he sat down with me and he was like, you know what? You are going to have to get over it. You have more things to focus on. You are right in the middle of promoting your album. You can't have a breakdown right now.
Right.
And that's when I said I owned it, you know, which
mm-hmm.
I thought I'd owned it before.
Mm-hmm.
But then I really owned it, and I said, you know what? That is going to go at the bottom of the list
mm-hmm.
because I don't have time to think about it.
Right.
This is who I am. This is how I got to where I am. This is what I've been this way all my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to change overnight, so why are you thinking about it right this moment? When you're ready to deal with that aspect of your life, if ever, then you'll deal with it.
Right.
And that's when Lane Bryant came along. And that gave me the opportunity to be comfortable in my own skin, to be around women who felt good about me representing them.
Yeah,
and it gave
the ads
me an
beautiful.
Absolutely, you know, and it gave me an opportunity to talk to women who were like me, mm-hmm. who, you know, looked up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me an opportunity to just kind of own it and be comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you know, that was the gift in doing Lane Bryant. Because, you know, I would always tell women, if you're happy, if you're comfortable, if you're healthy, own it.
Right.
Own it. You know, don't beat yourself up about it, because this is who you are. And people, I believe that people give off energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if your energy is bad, people are going to pick up on it immediately. And if you're
right.
not comfortable with yourself, then it's up to you to change it. But
mm-hmm.
if you're comfortable, then own it and go with it.
Now, in your bio, it says, you were previously approached by Jenny Craig and Celebrity Fit Club, but you initially said no. So what happened after the Lane Bryant campaign that made you change your mind about it?
You know what? I'm all about challenging myself
mm-hmm.
and getting the most out of me. And I think that, you know, we as people, I think the hardest thing to do is to challenge yourself. It's easy for me to challenge you to something because I want to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just me, myself, and I,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going against myself, that's when the real growth happens. And I think when I first got approached by Jenny Craig and Celebrity Fit Club, I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really think I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew my mind wasn't in it, I wasn't going to go on national television and fail. I wasn't going
right.
to do a national weight loss campaign where, you know, I really wasn't ready to do it. And I told my manager, I said, you know what, I need some time to think about it. And he said, okay. And I think finally one day I said, well, what's next? You've accomplished
mm-hmm.
everything you want to accomplish in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You just had the beautiful opportunity with Lane Bryant to own
mm-hmm.
who you are and to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to look at it from a realistic perspective. I looked
mm-hmm.
at my family history of, you know, hypertension, diabetes. You know, I started to, you know, rationalize it because I'm a very logical black and white person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started to look at the facts. And I looked at my family and I was like, that's what's predestined for you.
Right.
If you're just okay with being okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your mother's overweight, your brother's overweight, your grandparents are overweight. These are the ailments that come along with that. And I said, okay, let's challenge myself to see if I can do this. And not until I got to that point did I say that I was going to do it.
Now,
it
while
was a decision myself.
While being a Jenny Craig spokesperson, did you receive criticism after being a Lane Bryant spokesperson?
Oh, yes, honey. My fans ripped me apart.
Really?
They called me a sellout. They said that I'm turning my back on, you know, the fan base, which was so far beyond the truth. Because, you know, just because I lose weight, it doesn't change who I am.
Right.
And then, you know, I was so shocked because I was like, it's amazing how here I am trying to do something good for myself,
mm-hmm.
which is lose a little bit of weight so that I'm healthier in the long run. Honey, I'm not trying to be a size zero. I've never been a size zero. I will probably
mm-hmm.
never be a size zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm going for, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm always going to have hips and I'm always going to have breasts. They're not going anywhere either. You know, so for me to be a stick figure, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know? And I think after I did it and after I started to lose the weight, my fans became more receptive of it. They were like, oh, my gosh, you know, she looks so good. I'm so happy for her. And then I started to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally changed, you know, and they started supporting me. Because it's hard, you know, when you've been doing something your entire life, especially food, and I'm from the South, I say it again, you
mm-hmm.
know, everything is fried, you
yeah.
know.
I'm
are,
from
we
Louisiana,
only,
I know.
Yeah, we only eat about 10 vegetables. They're
right.
fried. Or they're fried and cooked in butter.
With gravy.
You know, with gravy, exactly. And so it's like trying to do that was so hard. So I literally... My manager and I were talking about it when I first started, and he was like, stop reading the message boards. And he was like, you are not allowed to go on and read any of the fan sites.
And he's like, just stop.
Because it would upset me. I started second guessing myself, and I became disappointed. And I, you know, I started to come down on myself. What are you doing? And I was like, and finally he and I talked about it. He was like, just stop it. He's like, you're doing this. You're doing it because you made that decision, and they'll come around. And they did, you know, eventually they did. But I was actually shocked that, that I got criticism for actually wanting to be better, I guess, you know. But I guess that's par for the course in this business.
So how was your experience on Celebrity Fit Club?
My first word is dreadful. And I'll tell you why.
Because
of the whole, yeah. Because that was, when you're losing weight, when you make that kind of decision and that commitment, it's not only changing your weight, you're dealing with other things as well. Because you're learning about yourself, and you're learning why you eat the things that you eat, and you're learning what triggers you. So it's almost like therapy. It's like a psychotherapy. Because you start learning why you turn to food, what made you turn to food in the first place, you know, why you have these tendencies to do this during certain times. It's more than just weight loss. So for me, going to that show and taping that show and being stressed out by him, it wasn't worth it. And, you know, I actually finally got to a point on the show where I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm here trying to do something healthy for myself and better for myself, but the amount of stress that I'm under, it's not worth it.
Exactly.
You know, so for that, it was dreadful. But at the end of the day, it was life-changing.
Now, from that show, is that how Locked and Loaded came about? Tell us about that project you have.
Locked and Loaded is a cruise that is going to take place in the Caribbean, in September of 2009. And I have to tell you, it is going to be so much fun. Because what I felt like, the reason I wanted to do the cruise is because I've really changed my eating habits. I'm a different person. Even when I go home, you know, as much as I love fried catfish and cornbread, I don't eat it. You know, and my mom, she always asks me to cook dinner because she knows I'm going to cook healthy. I've completely changed my eating habits. Like, I'm a different person. And the fact that I'm able to do this, I know if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I'm a food junkie. I love food. And I love, you know, just like everybody else, I love the worst kind of food. So what the cruise is about is, it's a time where people can come and they can, first and foremost, it's vacation. Number one, it is a vacation. But number two, it's an opportunity for people to come and be educated. We have, you know, I'm doing all the music aspect of it. Harvey's doing all the fitness and wellness. But, you know, what I want to do is I want to be in all the fitness and wellness stuff too, because, you know, I'm a product of eating healthy and, you know, doing the right thing. So what I think, people who come on the cruise, they're going to get a wealth of knowledge that they can use while they're on the cruise. They can use it, take it home with them when they get off the cruise. It's going to be such a personal experience, because we're going to be on the boat at everybody's disposal. You know, we're even going to plan a private dinner so that we can all sit down together and just, you know, hang out.
And this is the first time you've done this?
Yes, it's the first cruise ever, you know, that we've done this. And, you know, we were just trying to find a way to make it fun. And music and fitness, everybody loves music, you know. And, you know, for the most part, everybody wants to know how to be healthier, even if it's just a, even if it's just a little bit healthier. I'm not saying that you want to, you know, do Jane Fonda, or you want to be a size zero, but just how to make incremental changes in your life that will make you healthier over the long term. You know, because even for me, I think that's what it was about for me. It was about making the incremental changes that will keep me from falling off the cliff at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do, boot camps in the morning time on the deck, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, it's like I think about it, it's like, can you imagine doing a workout in the middle of the ocean? How
wow.
cool is that? Who gets to do that? Who gets to have that experience?
Right.
You know, so we came up with the cruise idea, and we're, you know, we're going to give it a shot for the first, this first year.
And what's the website for that?
The website is www.lockandloaded.com. That's my last name, L-O-C-K-E, and loaded.com.
Now,
and
are you currently working on a new CD?
You know what? I am doing Christmas right now. I'm about to go on a Christmas tour. We start the day after Thanksgiving, surprisingly enough. Mm-hmm. And although the tour dates will be on my MySpace page, which is MySpace.com/KimberlyLocke. We have all the tour dates. We're going to be in Florida, Texas, New York. We're going to be all over the place. So people can come out and see the Christmas tour. And then, let's see.
You have a new restaurant or something with a restaurant?
I have a restaurant called Croton Creek. I actually just came from there. I came home. I was at the restaurant. I came there. Came home from there. And, you know.
And where is, what city is that in?
That's in a town called Croton Falls, which is in Westchester County, New York.
Oh,
and
okay.
We're about 1 hour outside of the city. And it's a steakhouse and wine bar. And we have a website. It's CrotonCreek.com, C-R-O-T-O-N, Creek.com. And, you know, I'm there when I'm at home. You know, I make sure I go by and, you know, make my face seen and be seen around there. And people love it. You know, people love it. People love the surprise that they don't know if I'm going to be there or not. But when I'm there, it's a big treat for them. So, you know.
Go ahead. What you was going to say?
I was going to say next year, you know, after Christmas, I will start working on a new album.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And so tell us your official website and MySpace, too.
My official MySpace page is www.myspace.com/KimberlyLocke.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can listen to music, you can find out my calendar, where I'm going to be next, and I post a blog on there as well. So anything Kimberly Locke is going to be on MySpace.com. And there are links to my other fan sites as well.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us. That 30 minutes went by fast.
It did go by fast. I talk a lot.
Well, I had to cut off some of the questions. I'm going to have to get you back on here.
Yeah, I'd love to. I would love to.
Well, thanks again. I know you were busy because we almost didn't make it here.
I know. Thanks for being understanding, though. I appreciate it. I wanted to make sure I got it in.
Yeah, thank you. Well, congratulations on all your success, and hope to hear from you soon again with the next interview.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was the fabulous Kimberly Locke. Make sure you check out her CD that's in stores now, Based on a True Story. And tune in next time, and we'll have more Plus industry professionals with stories to not only inspire you, but to keep you connected. For more information on our show, go to our website at www.plusmodelmag.com. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, email us at guest@plusmodelmagazine.com to submit. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting Plus Model Radio. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.